All right, so we're back here on Church and State, and I am your host, Stephen Cox. I want to dedicate some time this week to what just happened in politics, and I think in my view, more or less a revolution has happened, but also a fracturing of the Republican Party. And of course, I'm referring to the news that Donald Trump won not only the Indiana primary, but also Ted Cruz, as well as John Kasich, dropped out of the race soon thereafter. And so what does this mean for the country? What does this mean for conservatism? What does this mean for the Republican Party writ large? To hash all this stuff out, this is very complicated stuff, I wanted to invite on a friend of mine. Edgar Portello is a media analyst for the Washington, D.C.-based Watchdog Group Media Research Council, who does fantastic work calling out liberal media bias as well as keeping those in power honest. But of course, before we talk to Edgar, we want to remind everybody that the opinions given on this show, including myself and my guests, are not necessarily the views of the employers that they work for. But having said that, Edgar, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me, Steven. It's good to see you.
Absolutely. So folks who don't know, and no one would have any reason to know this, Edgar and I went to college together back in Michigan at Aquinas College, and it's been a little bit of a serendipitous how we reconnected here. I was just looking on Facebook, and I seen Edgar made some posts about, it was a very sad one because Edgar's been pulling for John Kasich this election season, and he just happened to drop out. Edgar, what's up with Kasich? Why were you supporting the Ohio governor?
Well, what really appealed to me about John Kasich was his experience in so many fields of government. For example, he was in the House for 25 years, and he was the architect of a lot of balanced budget. The last time our budget was balanced at the federal level was when he was around. And then his experience as governor of Ohio, I think that he's run a pretty tight ship, a good ship there. So after my initial hopeful Rand Paul dropped out, I kind of wanted to find someone who was serious about balancing the budget, and Governor Kasich was my guy.
Yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate. I mean, he's been in office in Washington for 20-some years, and this time around, that has been really poisonous for campaigns. It's the year of the insurgent. It's the year of the outsider. It's the year of, in other words, Donald Trump. How did Trump emerge? I mean, I have my own ideas. I want to hear yours. We'll talk about them. Where did Trump come from? These things never really work in the past. These businessmen who run for office, what's so unique about this, and how did he succeed?
Well, I think that Trump has already such a huge following just from his previous media exposure, sure, with The Apprentice and so many other things. So he already had that that savviness to kind of capture the narrative and just capture people's attention, regardless of whether it's positive or negative. That man just has a brilliant knack for, making anything that comes at him work for him.
Sure.
Donald Trump has been a phenomenon that I would say has been in the making for many, many years.
I agree.
I feel that a lot of the people outside of the Beltway feel that the Republican Party has been kowtowing too much to lobbyists, yep, to other interests, and yep, they feel that maybe they definitely feel that the conservative soul of the party has been siphoned off slowly, right, by these people that they feel go to them, ask them for their votes, and then they go to Washington and they do something else,
right,
which is a completely valid point, in my opinion,
right,
as to why so many people feel like, the Washington elite doesn't cater to their needs anymore.
I think that is so, it's so personified in a recent column George Will wrote, basically saying it's the responsibility of conservatives to still stop Donald Trump from getting this nomination. I mean, if there's anyone more establishment than George Will, I don't know who it is. And I think, they're so out of touch, and you mentioned this, with the ordinary voters. And conservatism, yes, and I think you saw that you know, the Tea Party when it first emerged onto the scene, 2010, 2012. But we progressively got more upset with the way the Tea Party still wasn't handling some of these issues. Defunding Obamacare, whatever you think that's right or wrong, it wasn't done. A lot of these candidates promised to do that. Border security, right? There hasn't been a huge crackdown, at least to the folks who supported these Tea Party folks. And then, of course, to the Trump comes along and promises all of this. You know, we're going to bring back our jobs. We're going to close down the border. These people are taking our jobs away. NAFTA was bad. So I think you're right on that. It has been building for quite a long time. But in your view, what does this say about the party then? Is a Trump nomination a return to maybe a sort of less ideological, more populist, and I would even maybe even say an Eisenhower-type view of the world where, you know, foreign entanglements like NATO, spreading so-called democracy, are we returning to the roots of the Republican Party?
Well, I think that a lot of the things that are happening inside the party is not so much a fracturing, but kind of a we're having an internal debate amongst ourselves and about what direction we want to take the party, what direction we want to take the country. And it's definitely an incredibly vigorous debate. There's a lot of ideas out there, and the Republican Party is not just core conservatives. There's also libertarians. There's also moderates. Sure. People who might only vote Republican for one certain issue, most likely abortion or maybe. But what I see happening is a very vigorous debate as to the heart and soul of the party. And honestly, I have to take my hat off to Donald Trump's ability to be able to question, at least, why, as a country, we're still in this Cold War mentality, right, where we are spending so much money, you know, on foreign entanglements. And, you know, it's I think that the party is dealing with a post-Bush hangover, and this is kind of how it's playing out. Sure. I think this is, I mean, regardless of how people can feel about President Bush, but I definitely think that this is a post-Bush hangover.
Yeah, and I think that is, and I think it's maybe more than that. I think it's, again, 20 years, you know, following Reagan, of, you know, conservatism that believed global capitalism, you know, spreading so-called liberty across the world would work, and it hasn't. It's you know, driven jobs overseas. It's had, you know, an extreme high amount of cost in terms of you know, death and debt with our military and our military personnel. What is it about NATO, though? You singled that out just a couple seconds ago, as well as your the position on abortion. You're very pro-life, socially conservative, but it sounds like, and you said this before, you supported Rand Paul. What is it about foreign policy, or rather specifically Trump's foreign policy, perhaps, that is maybe appealing or to people, or something that you could maybe rally behind? You're not one of these never Trump folks, are you? I know it's really early after your boy left, but
I don't think I'll be casting my vote for Donald Trump, but I do have to give credit where credit is due, though. Coming from supporting Rand Paul, I do have to say that I see great appeal in making NATO relevant again. Okay. Now that we have Russia flexing its muscle out invading a country. You know, in 2008 they invaded Georgia, and then in 2012 they invaded Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So Putin is definitely flexing his muscle, and he wants Russia to be a big player in the world scene. So
isn't a lot of that, though, I would say, isn't that a lot, though, due to the West's desire to really encircle and encroach Russia? I mean, they've been picking off states after state, or nation after nation, for the past, you know, 15, 20 years after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And, I think about, Trump, maybe you're going to get to this point, if you do bring it back to it. Trump wants to talk with Russia, right? I mean, what's so radical about that?
So, not supplement Carly on that necessarily, except it seemed that she didn't want to talk to Putin, she didn't want to do certain things, and, well, I mean, Vladimir Putin is the leader of Russia, and I'm not going to have to talk to him, but at the same time, we have to let these European countries know, their NATO, that the United States expects them to also chip in for their own defense, that we can't continue to subsidize their defense so big. And, it's certainly a point that I have to give to Trump because I agree with it. I think it's true.
So what is it then about Trump that still got you not convinced? Are you you're going to vote for Hillary or do you just not yet know?
I am definitely not voting for Hillary.
Okay, okay. I didn't know if I was going to have to say some prayers for you.
Well, I mean, like, I always welcome prayers. I'm a sinner, so prayers are always welcome.
Okay, I'll do it anyway, yep.
I am, I don't think I'll ever be going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm evaluating what third party options I have, but for Donald Trump, I am not convinced about his pro-life stance. Mm-hmm. I think that in several instances, he's shown that he really understands what being pro-life means.
No.
And to this day, I mean, I would like to see a Republican that has a consistent life ethic.
Mm-hmm.
With Donald Trump, I think that we stray very, very, very far
sure.
from that.
Sure. I think that is the trouble a lot of Catholics would have voting for him. But I think he's malleable enough, as I think Jimmy Carter said, where a lot of people can work with him. And I think he might understand, hopefully, the politics of social conservatism, at least on those issues, where he can maybe be convinced. Of course, I could be wrong, but I do think, I was just reading an article about this, Trump's social views. With his nomination, is social conservatism dead? And what I mean is, we've been told for the past, 20, 30 years that social conservatives can vote Republican. You can trust us with, fighting for the unborn. But the past couple of years, we've seen a number of Republicans go the way of supporting gay marriage, so-called, the way of not defunding Planned Parenthood. I know there are politics around why Paul Ryan did not do that. But electing someone like Donald Trump, who's been thrice married in the past, has said he's very pro-choice. He's not socially conservative at all. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Is social conservatism and really kind of coming to its end in the Republican Party?
I don't think social conservatism is dying out. What I'm seeing is that as the party continues to march on forward, I think that with the GOP being normally a big tent, I think that I'm seeing a lot of people changing their minds on certain positions just to maybe remain electable, or maybe because they certainly feel that way. I certainly wouldn't consider myself full on a social conservative, but definitely when it comes to the pro-life plank, I think that is something that we need to keep as a party. And certainly I certainly wouldn't want to see a change in the platform like a lot of people have speculated Trump would do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is that maybe they sacrifice of certain stances and certain values for the sake of electability and for the sake of assembling a coalition of voters that will carry a Republican to the White House.
Right. Something like probably gay marriage. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I think, yeah. I mean, and we'll get to that point when we do. Of course, right now, there's numbers shifting in the country in regards to to that very important issue. But let's also shift our focus now. We've talked probably enough about Trump for more than for your liking. But let's shift now to, I guess, the general election. I mean, we're still talking about Trump, but, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, he is going to be the nominee. I want to get into, you know, how does this affect down-ticket candidates? How is he going to run against Hillary Clinton? What are your thoughts on the general election? What's this going to look like?
I think this, for just putting aside my own personal feelings about either candidate, this is certainly going to be very entertaining to watch. you know, you have two candidates that have very low favorability ratings,
right.
Trump more so than Clinton. And you see two candidates that have a long history of scandals and controversy. So I think this is going to be a kitchen sink election where Clinton is going to throw whatever she can at Trump, and Trump's going to do the same. He's not going to keep his arms crossed on that one.
Oh, sure.
So I think it's going to be a very intense election. Definitely something that I'm definitely going to be paying attention, because it's right. If I worry about the direction that the party is heading, but even if I don't give my vote to Trump, I would like to see Trump vigorously take Clinton to task for all of the legitimate things out there. Like, for example, her handling of the email scandals, her handling of Benghazi, any leftover issues with the financial dealings of her and her husband with the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
There's definitely a ton of things, a ton of questions that need to be asked.
Do you think that's her biggest weakness? Well, obviously, she can't be trusted. That's a huge thing. People see her, think she's disingenuous. I mean, the folks who support Bernie Sanders, clearly that's one of their biggest issues with her. She's a creature of Wall Street. You know, she's given all these talks at Goldman Sachs. How is Trump going to combat that, though? I mean, here's a guy, you know, who's worth a couple billion dollars. He's been he had the Clintons at their wedding. What is he attacking her on? Her failed foreign policy? I think that could be a huge thing. But what else is there that he can really go after her at that's going to win voters to his side?
Oh, well, definitely trade policy. Yeah. Despite the fact that the
NAFTA?
GOP... Yes, despite the fact that the GOP was right there with Bill when NAFTA was signed, I think that Trump winning the nomination on that plank has kind of it's a clean break from that past.
Right. It's a talking point now. It can be, you know, attacked.
Yeah, so I definitely think that that's going to be a vulnerable point for Clinton, because when she tries to sell free trade, she's going to be hurting herself with, even within her own party, with the Sanders supporters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Bernie or bust people are not going to like what she's going to have to say on that. And I think that the Clinton Foundation receiving money from so many questionable foreign sources, while Clinton claims to stand for women's rights, for women's health care. I don't understand how someone like her can legitimately argue that she wants to stand with women here in America when she takes massive donations from, for example, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who doesn't even let women work or drive a car. That's going to be effective.
Right. I think so, too. And I do think there are going to be some issues that cancel themselves out. Maybe perhaps some of the past, you know, issues with each candidate's, you know, bills, problems with women, as well as Trump's. I hear rumblings that, you know, they'll see how each other attacks, and then they'll maybe appropriately respond. I don't know, but we'll see. I imagine we'll see something. But for voters, I think that stuff, you know, like we've been getting it, I think there is a slide on some social issues overall. I mean, the party of family values has, again, elected a guy who is three times married. This is just a really bizarre overall election. But let's stick on this point of the general election. Do you buy the argument, well, a couple points, that somehow Bernie Sanders or Sanders supporters are going to somehow go to Trump because he's you know railing against NAFTA and free trade and foreign policy, or are they going to stick with Hillary? And then the second point is, does he have this sort of appeal to moderate Democrats, who at least historically we referred to as Reagan Republicans or Reagan Democrats? Are both of those points valid in your eyes?